I've been trusting the Lord really to show me His heart for us, His heart for this town. Ek sien Ronel is altyd soos ek, ons draai altyd hierdie goedjies so op. But really, I've been trusting the Lord. I've even, when I was there at the one small group there with Donnie, Furie and Corey and allemaal wat daar by woensdag aand was, we shared a bit about the grace of God, and Sila was also there that night at the small group. And I just asked them, I told them, but I just feel that God wants to show us deeper things. He wants to show us His greatness in His grace, His supernatural grace. And they even prayed for me that night when Donnie still laid his hands on me. And this last couple of weeks, I've just been really, in my quiet time of God, God has really been opening up things. He's really been showing me stuff. And it's it was in this week I was in my house. Goeienaand. Plaat die deur wat oop is vir julle daar achter, of is julle okay? Okay. Because I can hear the cars here from the front, so if it doesn't bother you, then it's fine. And I was in my home this week, and I was just, the praise and worship music was on in the house. And I walked, and I was in the presence of God. And I came in my corridor, and the presence of God was so tangible. But I couldn't stand. I had to just go down on my knees. And I sat there on my knees in the silence, just in the presence of God. And the Lord just showed me, He said, but there's power in His blood. And we so want the world to run to Jesus. And as I said that, I just felt the Lord speaking into my heart through the Holy Spirit, saying that if His bride starts believing in the power of His blood, the world will start running to Jesus. And it was so amazing as I just sat there in the corridor on my knees. I realized that even in my own life sometimes we doubt the blood of Jesus. We doubt the power of the blood of Jesus in our own lives, cleansing us, delivering us, healing us, setting us free. And I want to encourage you tonight, I really believe that God wants to stir up in us as a congregation, but in His bride, that place where we cling to the blood of Jesus. We cling, sometimes we cling to the things of this world, we cling to things that people say, but we forget that there's power in the blood of Jesus. And it's really, that's our salvation. That is why we are here as a church. That's why every church that's here in George is here because of the blood of Jesus, nothing else. Not because of a man's anointing, not of because great preachers, not of anything, but the blood of Jesus. And it's so amazing when I was sitting there in the presence of God this week, it was just that place where God just said, back to that place where His blood is all that we need. We don't need anything else. And that's the grace of God. That's that supernatural grace. I think we in the Western world, because we quite running with our intellect and with our minds, the blood of Jesus is something that's there, but it's not always in the fullness that it's supposed to be, because our minds block it. And it's really a place where we need to come in. If you go into the Eastern countries, and even into Africa, where they have blood rituals in their religions. If you go to, you can Transkei to gaan, then you'll see them. And we see them even in our political leaders, if they get set free from prison, then the bull's head must go off, because they understand there's something about the blood. And the Word of God speaks about it, says, but we cannot be saved. There is no remission for sins without the blood. And then Jesus' blood is the ultimate. That's once and for all. The sins that we did when we were 2 years old, the sins that we're going to do when we're 102 years old, it's been finished. And it's really that place where we come in, and it's actually a rest into the supernatural grace of God. Saying, but Lord, we don't have to do anything because it's already been done on the cross. It's already been done. And I've just been praying the last 2 weeks, I've just been praying, Lord, everywhere I go, when I meet people, when I speak to them, when I meet them at the small groups before, and I just pray, Lord, let us see the finished work of the cross of Jesus. And it's so amazing when we come back to that reality, because that's what Paul said, the Apostle Paul said. He said, I preach one thing, I preach Christ crucified. Because that is where everything happened and where everything ended. Where Jesus said, it is finished. And I truly believe that God is putting us back in, He's putting us into that place. And tonight I'm going to speak about where is your treasure. And tonight it's not going to be too much into the blood of Jesus and so forth. I just wanted to share that because it's something that God showed me in this week. And it's something close to my heart, because I really believe as we start standing up, as we start reading into the Gospels again, Read the blood of Jesus. Look at what the blood of Jesus.
Hello?
Come on, come sit. Read about what the blood of Jesus has attained for us. We're going to have in August, we're going to launch, start doing series in August. This is our first series, going to be called Freedom. We're going to print flyers. We're going to give each and every one of us, going to get 5 to 6 flyers. You're going to hand it out to people that you know, especially those that don't know Christ. And we're going to speak about that freedom of what God has called us for. But it's God wants us to walk in that freedom every day. But it's something that we need to do every day, is to walk under His grace. Not to look at our own ways or our own strengths, but only the supernatural grace of God and His blood. Almal nog met my. Julle kyk my soos of ek jok. Hey? Okay. I'm going to read that first scripture there, Matthew 6 verse 21. It's a very well-known scripture. It says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it's so amazing. I've worked with many people before. I've spoken to many people in terms of their hearts, where their hearts lie. And sometimes I see that their hearts aren't with God. And I ask them, "Where does your heart lie?" And they would tell me, "Goeie Afrikaans, my hart is by die Here." And then I believe them. I give them the benefit of the doubt, because I can see there's no fruits in their lives, or it's a bit difficult. And then I look where their treasures are. Because that where they put their energy in, where they put their faith in, where they put everything in, that treasure, then I know where their heart is. And that's amazing when Jesus comes and He speaks to us that way, because so many times we think that if we put our heart someplace, then the treasures will follow us. Then we'll get the treasures. But Jesus says, there where we find our treasure, there our heart will be. And it's amazing to know that when Jesus speaks His word, He speaks to the people when it comes about life. It comes about the fullness of life in terms of what we can possess, what we can achieve in our careers, what we can achieve in our relationships, the friends that we have, the places where we stay, the places where we go, the footprints that we leave behind. And then Jesus comes and says, "There where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And He doesn't distinguish. He doesn't say 20% of your heart will be there, or 30%. He says, "There where your treasure is, there your heart will be." And then Jesus goes further and He says, "But we cannot serve two masters at the same time. You either serve God or you can serve mammon when it comes to wealth and when it comes to possessions in this life." He says you can't have one treasure there and one treasure there. It's either you've got one treasure because you've got one heart. I don't know about you, but I know there's some animals, if you look at this Nature Geographic stuff, they've got more than one heart in their bodies. It's a bit freaky, but I'm glad God didn't shape us that way, because then we had lots of treasures because we could put our hearts everywhere. But it's really that place of coming and knowing in that where our treasure is, there our heart is also. And it's basically, back in 2001, when I came to salvation and started moving with the Lord, and the Lord told me when I had to go for that year that I just gave as a service year for Christ, I love the ocean. I thought I was born to be if you had a male mermaid, I thought I was born to be something like that. I was just waiting for that there was a movie from Kevin Costner called, I think it was Underworld, where they were swimming in the ocean. They evolved into amphibians. I don't know if you remember that. Okay, I love the ocean, so I remember that movie. And they, Kevin Costner had like gills behind his ears so he can swim underneath the water. They had webs between their fingers. So I thought, "Lord, if there was something that I was supposed to be, that was that. I'm supposed to be that." So I was in love with the ocean, and then I came to be born again, and I started knowing Jesus. And then the Lord challenged me. He said, "Right, you're going to give your year for me between my studies, between my degree and my honors." And I had two choices. I can either go to the team that's at the sea, Jeffreys Bay. There was lekker ooskaap spanners daar. So I thought, that's lekker. And then the other one was Kempton Park West. Now, I didn't think much about Kempton Park West. And I went to sit, and I went starting filling in my form. And I sat there, and suddenly I just felt, where's my treasure? Is it to do what God wants me to do this year? Or do I want to go where my treasure is lying in the ocean? Like a pirate, says, "Wah-ha." And I realized as I filled it in, I said, first option, I said, Kempton Park West. Because I knew the closest ocean there is the Sun City Wave Pool, and I have to pay 100 rand to get in there, so I probably won't never go there. And it was amazing to know that was what God just wanted me to do. And I realized that I had the decision, I had the choice within me to say, Lord, where my treasure is. And God would have still used me at the beach. I'm so glad He placed us here in George now and not in Bloemfontein or Timbuktu there somewhere. Because I enjoy the ocean. But it's really a place where God had to shape me. I had to come to where I had to come to a place and say, Lord, You are my treasure. Nothing else. And that's basically, that's the greatest place that we can be on this earth, is to know that God is our treasure. And I'm going to say something profound now. When we move into ministry and when we move into a relationship with God, we've got many faith goals. We want to see people being raised from the dead. Huh? Well, I'm the only person that wants to see miracles like that happen. Okay, there's some hands. We want to see people get healed. We want to see people get delivered. We want to see people that's in bondage be set free. But that's not our main faith challenge. This little thing here is our main faith challenge in the Western world, in the Church of God. This is our main faith challenge. And it's amazing to know, I'm just going to give you a few statistics tonight when it comes to money. There's 215 verses pertaining to faith in the New Testament. 215 pertaining to faith. There's 218 verses pertaining to our salvation. So you will agree to me tonight that that's two great things about the doctrines and about our life of Christ, is our faith and our salvation. So there's 215 about faith in the New Testament and 218 pertaining to salvation. And then there's 2,084 scriptures that deals or pertains to money or the stewardship about money. It's nearly 10 times more. And then 16 out of Jesus' 38 recorded parables in the Gospels deals with money. Jesus knew that this was a part of abundant living, and He wanted to show us, and He still wants to show us today, how we need to relate to money. So tonight I'm going to speak about that place of our treasure. Where is our treasure? Because so many times I believe, and I agree with the people, I was on a Christian business course, when was it, 2003. And the one guy stood up, he did a whole module on taxation. And he filled down that SARS form. Most of us probably know that's IRP5 and all the things that you fill in. And then you get that extra income that you have to put in here at the bottom. And he said, sometimes our greatest faith challenge is to how we fill in our tax form. That extra 10 Rand, that extra 20 Rand, when nobody's watching us, nobody's seeing it, and we're declaring it either as income or we're declaring it as nothing that came in. And it shocked me. I came to a realization there that is so true in so many people's lives. I don't have statistics about South African churches, but in America, they've gone to life-giving churches. I'm not speaking about traditional churches where people don't walk in relationship with Jesus. I'm speaking about where people walk in relationship with God. 30 to 35% of those people actually tithe into the church. 30 to 40% think about it sometimes and do it if they feel like it. And then another 30% odd say, but they don't do it at all. And that's people that walk in relationship with God. And it's amazing to know that when Jesus even comes to speak about it, Randy Alcorn, he writes big things about, he's got a book called Money, Possessions and Eternity. He writes about that place of, is there a cat? Hey! It's not my treasure. I don't know whose cat that is. Okay, but he can jingle around here at the back, as long as he doesn't run up my sleeve. Hey! But Randy Alcorn says, in one of his books, he says 15% of everything that Christ taught relates to the topic of money or our heart or our condition of our heart relating to money. 15%. That's more than the teachings that Jesus gave on heaven and hell combined. And this week I was speaking to Elmery there in the office. We get lonely sometimes, so when I get there, I just speak. She doesn't get any work done because then I'm in the office, I'm just speaking, because when I'm here in George, I don't get much fellowship during the day. But she was speaking, I mentioned the statistics. She said, yes, but Jesus even spoke more about money than He spoke about love. And it's amazing. And tonight I'm not going to speak of how much you must give. I'm not going to speak of what you must give, when you must give. Tonight is that place of our condition of our heart. Because I believe that God has called us for one thing, and that is to come into that fullness with the standard that He has established for the Church of God. And that is to walk lives that doesn't follow mediocrity. He hasn't called us to have mediocre lives. He has called us to walk on His standard. And we start walking that standard by the blood of Jesus and by the supernatural grace of God. And we're going to look at about a few scriptures tonight. And we're going to walk in that. It's very silent in this place tonight. Is it because the cat is stealing the show, or why is it so silent? I'm not going to ask you tonight to bring all your money and put it on the stage or anything. Don't worry about that. It's just, I'm just laying down foundations for our hearts. Because the thing is, God isn't interested in our money. It was such a relief for me when I started giving into the kingdom of God, when I realized God doesn't need my money. He's not interested in that. He's interested in our hearts. He's interested in what we relate to in this life. And he comes there and he speaks there. Matthew 6 verse 20 speaks about our heart that follows our treasure. It says, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. It's very well known scriptures that we all know about. And it says there as well, where we come in and we have to lay down, lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. I don't have the scriptures here, but we all know the story of that, where Jesus sits at the money box. In the old days where Jesus, where they sat at the synagogue, they had a big money box there in the front. Probably there where the cat came in, where the money box would have stood. And Jesus took his disciples and he went to sit at the box. And he looked as everybody came to put in their tithes and their offerings as they walked past. And he saw the widow coming up and he called his disciples and he said, did you see what happened there? That widow only gave 2 small coins, but she gave more than all the others that came and gave out of their wealth. She gave everything of her livelihood. She gave everything of her possessions. So my question tonight is, why would you move into a place where you know, if you say, for instance, in our day and age, you've got 120 rand for this week for your own food. That's all that you have. And now you come to a service like tonight, and you put that whole 120 rand in the offering bag. Why would you do that? And I was thinking to myself, I realized, but maybe I won't do that. I'll maybe put the 20 in and keep the 100. I'll skip the ham sandwich and take a normal cheese sandwich. And I realized that there's something that widow understood there of freedom, of trusting God and moving in His supernatural grace. And that's why Jesus brought that picture to the disciples. That's why He said, come and look here. Because I'm calling you as my disciples. He didn't mention it to them that day. But He called them to don't live mediocre lives at all. And He called them to start living as that widow without them knowing it at all. Because if you look at the day when the church of Acts started, people just gave away all their possessions, just like that widow, because of the grace. There's something, there's a grace that was deposited in their lives. And tonight, as I mentioned, I'm not going to speak about how we must give, what we must give, but I want us to understand that there's something that God wants us to walk in, a supernatural grace. And I mentioned it this morning in Mossel Bay, don't give away your things. Look at what 1 Corinthians 13 says. If we can't give it in love and out of obedience, then it counts nothing to us. We can give everything that we possess, but God hasn't led us to give it away, and we haven't given it out in love, then it's like, you can just as well kept it. And it's truly to place tonight is just to come and say, Lord, where's our hearts? Where's our treasures? Where does our heart follow in? Where does it move into? Because God wants us free from anxiety. Matthew 6 verse 25 and 31 and 34 says, Jesus speaks there in Matthew 6. He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Verse 31. Therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? And verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And it's amazing to know that God doesn't tell us, but we mustn't think forward. We mustn't think ahead. Because if we aren't supposed to think ahead, then we're probably going to be at a bad place. You won't be able to think ahead when you must book your next golf round. Otherwise, you'll probably never play golf. All the golfers will probably agree. I've heard there some courses here in Good George, if you don't book 2 or 3 weeks in advance, then you don't ever get a place. Is that true? Aussie golfers. Okay, he's nodding their head. So God wants us to think forward, but he speaks about that condition of our heart. If we get anxiety in terms of what the future lays before us, and we start closing our hands, we start closing that what God has given us supernaturally, we start closing in, then Jesus says, don't walk in that place. Walk free from anxiety. And it's amazing to know when I was in the corporate world, the 1 year, yes, we got a massive bonus. And the bonus, they declared the bonuses, and you get that letter that your manager gives you, and he shakes your hand, and he says, wel gedaan, Paul. And then you're all excited because he doesn't know what's in the envelope, or he doesn't want to tell you. You must go look in your own office. And then you open it up, and then there's one more zero that you thought that it would be. So you're very excited. And I remember that 1 year we got that massive bonus. And it's not that me and Nadine needed the money, so I started making all these plans. Okay, we're going to this place, and we're starting to buy this and this. And I started doing all these plans. And then suddenly I just realized, halfway through the list, that there's anxiety that's gripping me. Because I was scared of, what if I don't spend it on the right things? What if I don't use this money on the right things for me and my wife? Good intentions. And I stopped right there with the list. Because already the first part of the list was my tithe. So I said, Lord, I'm done. I'm okay. And then I stopped and I said, and I realized I'm going the wrong track here. I said, Lord, you have blessed me now with a massive bonus. What do you want me to do with this? And I just felt the Holy Spirit said, give a big chunk. Just give it away. Give it to the poor. And I didn't. And I tell, even from this day, when I start walking, that was a massive lesson that I've learned. Even to this day, when I get money that's over and above abundance, I start asking the Lord, Lord, what can I do with it? Where do you want me to use it in your kingdom? And sometimes God says, take your wife on a great holiday, then I do it. I don't disagree with him then. But it's really a place where we come in and we say, Lord, but be open. Because even the Pharisees, they came when they brought their tithes, they brought tithes of even their herb plants. They would, if their plant grew 10 centimeters, they would cut off the top centimeter. That was their tithe that they gave. And they thought they were okay. Because the thing is, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant brings in the tithes and the offerings. And then Jesus comes in and he brings radical statements. He says, everything I desire. And it's not that God is going to call us into that place where now we have to give up everything, but it's an attitude of our heart. It's an attitude, and especially we in the Western world, and it's getting more silent and silent as I speak. And people are just looking at me if I'm a headmaster that's going to shout at you soon. But it's not like that, because there's freedom. Every time when Jesus speaks to us, when he gives us these things like in Matthew 6, when he speaks about you cannot serve two gods or two masters, he speaks about life. Everything that Jesus throws to us is about life. Life and life in abundance. And it's amazing when I heard the one testimony of this one guy that said that he came into a place where he lived in abundance financially, and he was a very wealthy man. And God spoke to him and said, give it away. Give it away. And he said he can't. And the Lord said, give it away because I want to show you something. I want to show you my supernatural grace. That man stood up that morning and he said, Lord, I'm signing away. He was a massive man. He was heavy into companies. He was director of many businesses and so forth. He signed his stuff away. He said, Lord, I'm giving you everything. Where must I go? And the Lord said, you're going to South Africa. Don't know if you know that man. That man's name is John G. Lake. He came to South Africa at the greatest healing ministry. He started the AGS. Al die AGS kerke wat ons ken. That was John G. Lake. He came from America. He sold all his possessions. He was a child of God. He never understood the supernatural grace of God. He never understood that place where God calls us to really change the world. And he says in his own testimony, until I came to that place to say, Lord, I give you all. And as I mentioned in the beginning, God led him into that place. I'm not saying tonight, just run out now, sell your car, sell your houses, give to the poor, whatever. But it's a place of being open to God. Because God hasn't called us for mediocre lives. Matthew 6, 32 and 33, we all know it. It's a kingdom mindset. For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. When we were in Nepal the first year, we met there a guy called, he calls himself Brother Abram. He's a dark, he's actually from India. He's a dark Indian man. He had a beard. The Indians have, I don't know if you've ever seen it, when their beards are long. It's shiny. It's very shiny. And he had a beautiful beard that was so shiny and thick. Thought if I could ever have a beard, I will have a beard like that. And he walked into the room. He had a congregation. He's been in Nepal. The Lord called him to Nepal. They've been there, I think, for 17 or 18 years when we met them. They left everything in India. Everything they left to go to Nepal. Their kids were born in Nepal as well. And he walked into the room. And my one friend, Yankor. Now, Yankor comes from Kaimus. I don't know if you know where Kaimus is. Kaimus is there in the Noordkaap. Small town, the people next to the Orange River. Yankor, he comes from there. Now, he's a very plat op die aarde, soos sê mannetjie in Afrikaans. And he never sees visions and big things and stuff. But when Brother Abram walked into that room, we were just sitting there in this one motel where we stayed. He walked in there, and of course, jaw just dropped. He just sat there the whole time. And we sat there, and Brother Abram, every time when he started speaking, it was like, it felt like God speaking to us. And he was just speaking. He was asking us, where do we come from? What's our names? But there was something different there. And then he walked out, and Yankor's jaw was still hanging halfway down his neck. And Yankor said, you won't believe this. When that man walked in here, he had a light around him that I've never seen. He's never seen it on any person. He just saw, and when he looked at this light, all that came through his mind was that man knows the righteousness of God. And it's because he knows the blood of Jesus and the grace of Christ. He's accepted it. He's made it his own. And he walked into it, and we sat in that room. And if you go to Brother Abraham's congregation, I think there's 30 or 40 people there the last 15 or 16 years. And like some of them are very small kids. Some are people that just pass through there. But when people come into that place, they get delivered, they get healed, they get saved. Good evening. Hello. And it's truly amazing to know that Brother Abraham has left everything for God. And we were at Van Sale small group, and I spoke a bit of it. Sometimes people just enter into a room and you can know that they know God. And that was one of those people, was Brother Abraham. And when he started, we went to his church a bit, and we followed up 2 years after that. We went there again. And he just gives us testimony after testimony after testimony. And this was his life. That was his life. He first seek the kingdom of God everywhere where he goes. He was trusting God because in India, Nepal, it's motors, just as that motorcycle came past now. There's motorfietsies oral. He was trusting the Lord for a motorcycle just to ride around and move between people as he go to pray and minister. He had to wait for 16 years before he got the bike. And still he says, God is great, God is awesome. He understands something that material things, Jesus even says, our life isn't measured by what we possess. I believe Jesus stopped his sentence there because I believe our life is measured by what we give out. Not necessarily only speaking about money, but what we give out. That's the measure of our life. Almal nog met my vanaand. Okay, julle is baie stil. Ronel, ons moet die mense opsaak hierso. Hey? Proverbs 14 verse 21, I'm going to start finishing off now. Speaks about that joy that comes through generosity. Because God speaks about that place where we are blessed, but there's also a place of being more blessed because of giving. And it says then, Proverbs 14 verse 21, he who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Proverbs 22 verse 9 says, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Acts 20 verse 35 speaks about it as well. It says, I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. If you go look at the traditional translation of that blessed, it's from the original word called makarios. I think I'm pronouncing it right. Is it makarios? Makarios. It's makarios. We had, when we were in Somerset West, one of our members there were Kat. She's original Greek. So it's flot in Greeks. So whenever our pastors came up there with all pride and say, the real word is like me, Makarios, then she'll shout the real pronunciation and translation out from the back. She's Makarios. Huh? Makarios. Okay, Makarios. But what it means, it says there, it is a supreme blessedness. It is a blessedness that arises more than just that thing that we have received. Because we are blessed because of the cross of Jesus Christ. We have walked in that blessedness. Or staan in die seëning van God. Nothing can take it away from us. And tonight I just want to emphasize it that God doesn't love us more or less because we give more or less. God is interested in our hearts. But there's something that changes in our lives when we start walking into that place of opening up our hands. Start saying, Lord, I give. I give. I give. I give. I used the illustration this morning in Mosul Bay. If we close our hands and God wants to give something to us. Say, for instance, He wants to give us an apple and we have to catch it. Then we can't catch it unless you can catch it with your mouth like a show dog or something. But if it's open, it can come in and can go out. It can come in and it can go out. And it's something that I've learned in my life since I started walking with God, is to be able to be open to give. And sometimes God will test us on the smallest things. I was in Stellenbosch once and I just filled up my petrol tank with petrol, of course, nothing else. Not diesel. We had one of our missions teams went into Malawi and they had the bus and there's a massive sign that said diesel only. And the only you can't put a petrol spout in the diesel thing. Or is it other way around? Other way around. Okay. That's why they made the mistake. So they were halfway through Botswana and they said, hey, we must stop for petrol. But it was actually diesel. And they put in petrol into that thing and then the whole thing just stopped. So the whole missions was blue. But anyway, I was putting petrol in my petrol car there in Stellenbosch. And as I was sitting, normally we tip the petrol guys. Most of us probably do. And I was sitting in the car, and as he was putting in the petrol, the Lord just spoke into my heart, and He said, this man is going through trouble. Help him. And I sat there, and I asked the Lord for a mount, and the Lord said, great, that's it. So the guy came, and he took my money, and he came back. And as I gave the tip, I took those notes out and I just gave it to him. I said, I just feel I must give this to you. And you could see the joy on that man's face. Now his eyes lit up. And I just said, okay, I got very, what's it, I'm ongemakkelijk. And I just said, okay, cheers, enjoy it. And I drove off. The next week when I came to put in petrol, five of the petrol attendants wanted to help me. I said, no, that was one solve. The Lord just, I said, no, it doesn't happen always. But it's really that place of just being open to give. I was driving as well, and I just drove past a lady, and the Lord just said, give to that lady, she's in trouble. And she had a little boy next to her. And I stopped and I just said, listen, I know this is weird, but I just feel the Holy Spirit or the Lord spoke to me and said, I must give you this amount. And she said, no, it's okay, she doesn't need it. And then a little boy behind her, oh, she probably had pride or felt bad because I wanted to give her money. He just started nodding his head. And I told her, I said, no, I really feel I have to give this to you. And I extended my hand and she didn't want to take the money. And then he grabbed the money and he put it in his pocket. And he said, Ma, kom. And he just stopped, walked away. So God used him just to break open her heart as well. And it's really that place, it's such a blessing. It is such a place of giving. And sometimes in my life, and that's why I mentioned in the beginning, we need to do it day by day. Just standing under the grace of God. Because I don't say, Lord, what can I give today? Or what can I give on Tuesday? Or what can I give on Wednesday? I just say, Lord, I always want to be open to your Holy Spirit. I always want to be open when I come to situations where you want me to give. And sometimes God brings situations on my path and I say, Lord, I can't do this. And then you give everything that you have for that week or the rest of the month. And then you do that sometimes because of obedience. And God has done it many times in my and my wife's lives where we do that. And then God comes and He just supernaturally brings people across our path, brings us food, or they bring us this, or they give us a voucher for this or that. And that was even before I was part of the ministry. It's funny when you're in the ministry, then people bring stuff to you. But it was really that place of just trusting God and moving into that place. But it's so amazing to know that there's a joy that comes through generosity. It's something that we cannot describe to somebody. It's like coming to salvation when we get born again. To describe it to someone that hasn't been born again. You can't. You can tell them, hey, Lester, because I'm more joyous over my salvation than over the Blue Bulls if you're in Pretoria. And then they'll start figuring out, okay, then that must be a massive joy. Huh? Well, even now in South Africa, there's Stormers and Blue Bulls in the final. Then the world starts figuring out, okay, we can measure this thing. But it's indescribable. You cannot describe that joy. And God has really called us. He's called us. And that's where that mediocrity in our lives has to go, is where we actually cling onto things in this world. Where we cling onto it and say, Lord, poof, let go. I remember when I finished my service here. So now I'm back at the ocean. And I wanted to go for my first time that I went to go into India. And I said, Lord, I don't have the funds to go. And I walked into my room. And there my surfboard and stuff was there. My bodyboard and things. And the thought just came to my head, but you can sell those and then you've got enough money. I said, no. That Sunday evening I went to church again and I can't remember if it was in the worship or something. And I just spoke to the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to go. I want to go. And I just felt the Lord saying, Paul, where is your treasure? At your surfing or at my mission field? And I got my answer. I went to the shop. I sold my stuff. It was quite an expensive board. I had to sell it for half price just to get it sold. And I thought, hey. And we went to India and we came back. I got exactly the same board, not the same board that I sold, but exactly the same board 2 months later for exactly the same price. When it was my birthday again, I could get it back. I think it was 50 rand difference or something. And it was just something small, but it changed my life. To know that God is so into the details. Sometimes we come and we have to give to the poor, give into the church. We sometimes think and say, ooh, God just wants to test me, or this is bad. I don't want to do it. But there's a joy in giving. There's a joy in generosity. And then basically, I'm not going to stand here tonight and say, we're going to bring out the offering bags again. And I'm going to say, okay, no makula leeg. Okay, but if you laugh, you have to do it. You have to empty all your pockets. This is a serious thing. Giving is a very serious thing. No, I'm joking. It's a joyous thing. And tonight is really to come to that place. And amazing, I'm going to end off with this, is when, and I know that many people have been hurt in churches. There's been many scandals where people have given into churches in a year, but they've taken the money, they've bought Mercedes Benzes, and they've taken money to holidays and all those type of things. But I'm going to encourage you tonight, if you've been hurt by a church that either mismanaged their finances and went all berserk with the things, is to know that God still blesses you. Because God doesn't put us into that place where we have to be accountable to the money. When we come and we give, that's where it ends. He says, on that basis, I will bless you because you give. And a blessing doesn't necessarily happen in terms of financial gain coming back to us. It happens much more. Because I think, because Jesus, if you look at all those scriptures that Jesus taught about finances, all those parables, I think Jesus knows exactly what's the correlation between money and true spiritual riches. Because he even comes to the Pharisees and he says, if you are not faithful with unrighteous mammon, how can I give you the true riches of God? And this is not a doctrine, but it's something that I've picked up in the Word of God. Whenever you look at the Word of Acts, where Paul went and all the miracles happened in the region of Macedonia, that's where the prison doors opened. That's where all these people just came to them and said, what can we do to be saved? All those miraculous things, supernatural stuff that happened. And you can read in Paul's letters where he thanks the churches for giving. Then he says there in his letters to, I think it's Timothy and some of the other guys, he says, and I want to make mention of the people of the region of Macedonia, because they gave more than they could. And that's what I'm saying. It's not a doctrine, it's not a theology. It's just something that I've picked up in the Word of God. Those places where people open up their hands to give into Paul's ministry, that's where the miracles happened. And tonight I'm not sounding, I don't want to be like a TV evangelist that say, if you give, then the miracles are coming, because that's not what I want to say. All I want to say is I think there's a connection in our own lives in terms of understanding the grace of God when we start opening up. When we say, Lord, I do not trust in my own riches that I've accumulated. I trust in you. And it's amazing to know that God wants us to walk in that place. But he doesn't want us to walk forcefully in that. That's why I said, I can throw 20 scriptures on the board now that will make you empty all your pockets. We can play an emotional game and we can walk out here and say, lekker. But we miss God completely. And I want to show you this picture in Exodus. Thank you, JH. Between all this Greek and Afrikaans and English, I'm getting all confused tonight. Speaks about the free will there. God comes to Moses. The Lord comes to Moses. He gives him a command. He says, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. Everyone who gives willingly by his heart, you shall take that offering. This is when they had to, when God commanded Moses to build the tabernacle, where they had to get into that place, that meeting place, where to get in. And then you read from Exodus 25 up to 35, God gives Moses all the prerequisites of that thing into detail. You'll put this much gold there, you'll put this much copper there, this much silver there, and it was a place, I think if we saw it, we would have been gobsmacked of the wealth that was between those people. When he comes to Moses, and it's such a great picture there, he says, Moses, all you have to do is you have to speak to the people and say to them they must bring an offering for me so we can build this place. Exodus 25 verse 2, the NIV says, from each man whose heart prompts him to give. So there was no being, there was no, okay, who gives us 10%, who gives 20%, 30%, who has all the 40%, 50%, who's giving everything they have? There was nothing like that. Exodus 35 verse 4 to 5, that's where Moses actually goes to the children of Israel and he speaks that command that God has given him. And it says, and Moses speaks to all the congregation of the children of Israel saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded me, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze. So it's amazing to know that God comes there and he speaks to Moses and he says, Moses, just give that command. And so many times, and that's why we've, as a church group, Shofar, we've decided now, even with our offering motivations, we just say, let the ushers take up the offering. Because sometimes people feel that they have to give because someone reads a scripture or someone. And we don't want to walk in that place. We want to walk in the place where you come and we just, it's out of the free will. And then Exodus 35 verse 20 to 21 speaks about how they started giving. And then they, in the congregation of the children of Israel, departed from the presence of Moses. So there's no emotional things attached there. Moses didn't tell them you must give now or you must empty your pockets now. And then everyone came whose heart was stirred and everyone whose spirit was willing. And it said there, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for its service and for the holy garments. Chapter 36 verse 6 to 7. So Moses gave a commandment and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the peoples were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, too much. Isn't it an amazing picture? There's so many ministries. If you look in George, there's ministries here, there's ministries in South Africa, there's ministries all over the world. And they struggle. They struggle financially. And I believe it's not because there's not people that can give. It's because there's not enough willing hearts and willing spirits that say, Lord, I'll give. And it's amazing to know when God comes there, because it's Moses is the forerunner of the old covenant. He was the one that took the law, the Ten Commandments. He was the forerunner of the Old Covenant, bring it into Israel. And this is what happened at the Old Covenant even. When God said, bring an offering, there was too much. The New Covenant stepped in when Jesus paid the price on the cross, died, rose again, went into heaven. And when the Holy Spirit came on the apostles, they started walking in the New Covenant of God. And what was the basis of both covenants? People giving, that there was too much to give out. The word of Acts speak about it when the Church of Acts walked and they said everybody had, every need was met. More than those needs were met. And I believe that when we start, it's not to say that we as a church is going to outgive the one next to the road or across at Oudtshoorn, we want to outgive the whole of Oudtshoorn or whatever. But it starts with each and every one of us. And tonight it is maybe, and that's why I say, I'm just going to stop here tonight. It's not going to be, okay, now bring us die kruiwagens and now moet jy die beersie dop nie. I'm not into that. But it's to say, Lord, I want to be willing. And maybe most of us are willing tonight even. Our hearts are willing, but there's maybe fear, there's maybe anxiety. Maybe God has spoken into our lives and say, but I want you to give more. Or I want you to walk into a place where you can grow from faith to faith. See my grace in your life. Walk out, step on that water, say, boof, I'm going to give something. One of our pastors in Stellenbosch, he's got a tradition that he does. Sometimes when he gets his salary in the beginning of the month, he just gives it all away. And then he starts walking in faith. Now, I'm not there yet. I can't. I can give a greater offering than I'm used to of the previous month or something like that. But the thing is, I can see the fruit in his life. But tonight, as I mentioned, it's not about that giving. It's not about giving it all or giving 80% or 10% or 20 or 30 or 40. It's coming and having our hearts positioned and say, Lord, I want to be a giver. I don't want to be a taker. I don't want to be someone that accumulates. I want to be a giver. And it's something that each and every one of us have to make with God. And that's so amazing when it says here in Exodus, when the people departed from the presence of Moses. He didn't ask them, okay, who's going to give? Stand up. Let's pray for you. Let's anoint you. That we make sure that you bring the right amount. No. Here they went. They departed from Moses. And that's exactly what I did this morning in Mossel Bay, and that's exactly what we're going to do tonight. Just as we sit, we're going to close our eyes now. And you just as you sit, you can reach out to God by lifting your hands. You don't have to do it. But just bring your heart before God. And I'm going to pray a prayer of just that place of, Lord, let we can see your grace so we can be a giving people. And it doesn't start with the one next to us. It doesn't start with the church next to the road. It starts with each and one, every one of us. And tonight is not here to condemn you. Tonight is not here to say, but listen, now you must give more, or you've been giving too little, or you have been giving much, but now you must give more. No, it's about our heart. It's about moving in and saying, Lord, we want to move into the standard that you've created. Even in the old covenant with Moses, that standard was that people came and there was too much. Because that's what I see. I see a church where God starts raising. When I speak about the church, I speak about the bride of Christ. That is so giving, so generous into our communities that our communities can change in 12 months to 2 years, just like that. You've seen it. You can see it if you look at these transformation videos that the people show. They say their towns just changed in 12 to 18 months, just like that, because people started giving. They started giving out. They started giving. And God just blessed them more and more and more. But it's that place of opening up. And it's a thing that we walk in day by day, coming and say, Lord, it's a supernatural grace that we have to be deposited into our hearts. It's not something that we decide and say, okay, Lord, because then it becomes a law in our life. Then we start thinking after 3 or 6 months, oh, yes, I've been giving more, now God must bless me. No, the word of God speaks about it. It says, cast your bread on the waters. Now, I can't remember, I used to give bread to the small ducks there in England when I was in England. They even come grab the bread out of your hand. So they were so hungry. But sometimes you throw that bread on the water and it lands there and some of the ducks pick it up and some of it just sink into the bottom. And it's such an amazing picture to know that when you do that, I don't swim behind those breadcrumbs to pick it up for those that won't pick up, that I couldn't see with my eyes that the ducks pick up. I just leave it. And then the whole ecosystem starts growing through those breadcrumbs that either got picked up on the surface or some of the fish or some of the microorganisms in the water. And it starts breeding on those breads and it can actually multiply itself. And the next thing you know, then woof, the whole dam is full of fish and full of lots of things because of that little pieces of bread that was just cast on the water. And it's amazing that picture when Jesus speaks about it, when he comes and he says, but you just do it and you don't worry about it. And I've seen it in my own life. There's sometimes times in our lives where we walk in abundance And there's sometimes times in our lives where we, by budget, klop net. En as hy klop, dan klop hy in die agterdeur, hy klop in die voordeur. Dus hy kom ook net hier in. And it's hard. Sometimes it's hard, and especially in the times that we live in now with the economic state of the world and our country and stuff moving forward. It's not easy times financially for many people. But there's sometimes those times that we come and we say, Lord, it's by grace that I can extend my hand. And tonight I'm not saying you must give into our church. If you have visited tonight, I'm not saying you must give into this ministry. All I'm saying is, start opening up. If it's the poor that you have to give, give to the poor. If you want to give into this ministry, give into this ministry. If you must give in wherever you come from into your own ministry, there, give. But start walking in that generosity. So let's close our eyes. Yes, Father God, I thank you tonight that tonight wasn't one of those most spiritual sermons that we'll probably hear. But I thank you, Jesus, that even as you came to taught on this earth and walk with the disciples and all the people that gathered around you, you spoke about our heart's condition towards money and towards giving and towards walking in that place. And I thank you, Lord, as Apostle Paul writes in Acts 20, verse 35, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. I thank you, Lord, tonight for every heart. I thank you, Lord, for every person that's reaching out now just to say, Lord, I want to be known as a giver. Not between men, but between me and you. Because, God, it's a place where we just want to open up, Lord. And I pray tonight for every person that's, maybe for tonight, maybe that first instance that they realize that they need to open up. Lord, that you would deposit that grace, that supernatural grace upon that lives and upon that hearts to start giving. Giving to those that's in need, start giving to those that needs financial means or whatever, Lord. But I thank you, Lord, for that place where we can start giving, Lord, more than we think we can give. And I pray, Lord, for a supernatural faith, Lord, that we will start moving into that place where we will start changing our communities because you can trust us, because we are givers. And I pray even, Lord, that even as people that you are going to send to us, even as we grow over the next few months and over the next few years and grow as a congregation, I pray tonight, Lord God, that even in the spirit that we will raise up a monument and declare that we want to be givers. Lord, we want to come and we want to bless you. We want to bless you because you have given to us more than we needed. And Lord, I pray for people that struggle tonight, Lord God, even in their financial terms, even in a struggle with their budgets, that you would come and supernaturally lift them out, Lord God. Not necessarily change the numbers, but come and change their attitude. Come and change their hearts. Come and change their spirit to have hope in you and trust in you alone. In the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you tonight, Lord God, that even as we come and just surrender, Lord, and just say, Lord, that you are our bank manager. You are the one that gives us everything, our food, our money, our clothing, everything that we need. I pray, Lord God, as we go out here tonight, that we will walk out here and make really that place of coming to you and say, Lord, come and change, come and cut, come and circumcise those areas in our lives where we want to grab it for ourselves. Because God, you say in your word, freely we have received and freely we will give. And Lord, tonight I ask that you will raise us up as those people that love you, that receive freely and give freely in the name of Jesus. All God's people say, Amen. Amen, Jelle. Dank Jelle. Thanks for listening to me. There's some nice tea and coffee there at the back.